the barren waste without the taste of water.
And you have brought in an official rain gauge. This is according to who?
Rainlog.org.
Rainlog.org. This is the true Czech American-made out of Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the deal. If you guys were talking about Rainlog.org earlier, and it has been put together by, again, University of Arizona scientists down there. They put together the web portal so that amateur or just you know, weather watchers, people that just love to see what's going on with the weather and they like to do their own measurements, that you can get a rain gauge and register it with RainLog, and you can be helping to put those numbers in so that when people do want to see what's going on, they can go online and see, you know, possibly there's somebody in their neighborhood that has registered something. So this is a special rain gauge that they would prefer you get, and you're going to, I think, put it online or something. Or
it is. We have a article, if you go to rosieonthehouse.com.
Perfect.
And in the quick links on the homepage, just click on water, use it wisely, and I've got all of your links that you provided for us this morning, and we'll post a picture of this
excellent
brand, True Czech, world's best rain gauge.
Rain gauge, yes, they're great. And while we're speaking of rain a little bit, I do want to give a shout out to the Watershed Management Group. That's a nonprofit that helps people understand how to do rainwater collection. We just did a series in Mesa, a 5-week series where they talk about rainwater harvesting and how to, you know, use it for your garden, for your landscape. And then they also get into gray water. They're going to be doing, they have two more programs coming up, one in August in Phoenix, and then the next one is in the spring in Glendale. So they're free programs, usually 5 weeks, once a week. So it's a really cool opportunity for people if they're really into the rainwater harvesting.
And that group again?
It's Watershed Management Group.
I get their newsletter. They are busy folks.
Yeah. And that's one of the links I put on there too for people. So
perfect.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to our callers, starting with Tom in Mesa. He wants to talk about his blood orange tree. Welcome, Tom.
Hi there. How are you all doing?
Very well,
good.
Thank you.
Good. Hi, Tom.
Good. I have a blood orange tree that is produced fruit every year, but this year it didn't get in, and it looks beautiful. It's healthy looking, but no blooms this year, and we didn't do anything different in terms of fertilizing or watering or anything. So I just was wondering if that's... It's like, do they take the not pollinate every year, or
how are you watering it? Is it on drip or is it on a bubble?
It's on a drip, but I also will deep soak it. I mean, slow drip. I mean, slow hose for, you know, maybe every 3 or 4 days, deep soak. I mean, the tree itself is. It's never looked. In fact, this year, what I did not do was thin it out. I was listening to you people, and somebody was saying that not to thin them out.
That's exactly right.
So I didn't thin it out this year, and that's the only thing I did do differently.
Tom, did you notice any flowers at all developing on it, or did you keep an eye out during the bloom period?
I truly wasn't paying that much attention, but I know I can always smell them. You know, when they're blooming, it's just such that strong smell, and I smelled that, but I really didn't pay attention to if they bloomed and then fell off or
right.
But there's none on there now.
Because we've seen good fruit set for the most part around the valley, I think. And I don't know that blood orange specifically. I mean, they aren't quite as vigorous as a lot of the other citrus trees. I wonder, you know, we have seen reductions in some of the pollinators and things like that. The bees, sometimes if you don't get pollination, then you might not get fruit set. But typically, even, you know, oranges, you know, that's rare. So I just wonder if it's just taken a rest. The fact that you say it's healthy looking, that it looks great, you've left it full and lush. You're not getting any rootstock that's coming up, are you? Any of the rootstock branching or, you know, leaves or
suckers
and
below.
Stuff, are you? Tom?
We try this again.
Volunteers, and I would cut those off.
Okay.
You know, on the very, very bottom of the trunk.
Yeah, you are keeping those trimmed off?
Yep.
Okay.
There's not very many of them, but when they do come in, I'll cut them.
Yeah, good.
So, what I'm noticing, it's got on some of the new branches, I mean, it's got a whole bunch of new foliage and everything.
Good.
So
good.
I just don't get it. What, unless it's, you know, now we moved into this house later, so I don't know how long it's been here, and if they have a lifespan of when they don't produce fruit anymore.
No, I think for some reason you might have had some off year or something happened that the fruit, the flowers either did not develop fully or didn't produce or something like that happened. I would give it a year. If it's healthy, I think you're doing all the right stuff. You know, just make sure you're keeping up with your fertilizer and everything. And then if it doesn't happen next year, call Jay Harper when he's on it next time. So, yeah, I think you're all right.
We have eight citrus trees, uh-huh. Variety of orange, mm-hmm, grapefruit, mm-hmm, lemon.
Yeah.
I've never had one year where all eight trees did it immaculate.
Right.
You know, I'll have one year, sometimes. Lemons, yeah. Boom. Explode. I'm like, wow, we're going to have a great lemon harvest next year. Well, that's so-so, but this orange tree is great. I mean, they have their own cycle. It's not uncommon to
have low years, but the fact that he has none is a little bit unusual. But
right.
And they're, by the way, a wonderful fruit, the blood orange. It's that real dark, almost a grapey-looking inside the dark red flesh and just delicious flavor. So hopefully you'll get a crop next year.
Yeah, now another thing to keep in mind is that this has been we cycle into this kind of weather pattern that we've had the past, like last summer into this winter, this drought and high heat. We get that every once in a while, and our plants, especially non-native plants, don't respond the way that we are used to them responding because we have that set of circumstances. Really hot, dry summer followed by a higher than and warmer than normal winter with no rain. So those things, even though we're watering supplementally with irrigation systems, can have an impact.
Well, let us know in a year, Tom. I know that's not the answer you wanted to hear. He wanted to hear something that could put those blood oranges back on his tree for the fall and winter. But there's plenty of farmers markets in the Mesa area that may just have to be, you know, find your new favorite weekend farm stand for a year, and let us know next year if it's come back around and the cycle. Just continue to fertilize it. We've got we just kind of passed our last fertilizing cycle. We don't have the next one really till September if you're doing the granular 3 or 4 time a year citrus fertilizing platform that a lot of people recommend and suggest.
The what's the John's citrus nursery in Mesa? The blanking for some reason.
AMP?
No.
Greenfield?
Greenfield Citrus Nursery. That would be another.
John.
That John. Yeah, and you might call out there as well because they grow so much citrus, and they might have a better idea if there's something unusual about the blood orange. So,
we appreciate the call. Let's see how we can help Liz this morning in Tucson. Welcome to the program, Liz. How can we help you?
Thank you, Rosie. I really love your program. I've been enjoying the morning out in the rain. However, I have potholes in my 1 acre yard that I've been trying to clean out the nest from the pack rats and doing everything I can to get rid of them, and they're winning the game. And I was wondering if you had any suggestions.
Do you think you have
that I can do?
Gophers? Are you sure they're pack rats, or are they gophers where you're getting the holes? It might be pack rats. I know you get them down in Tucson pretty badly.
Well, they have the cacti.
Okay.
Burrs from the Choya cactus, and they make the nests in the bottom of the cacti. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a pack rat.
Yeah, it's a pack rat.
Yeah.
And the hard thing
they chew up everything.
Yeah.
And the hard thing about those or any four-legged, whether it is ground squirrels or rabbits or anything, they're out there all day. So you've got to have something else that can be out there all day. I think you need to go to the Humane Society and find a cat. Throw it back there and don't feed it for a week. When you go to your local nursery store, there's all different types of traps. Get one of every kind. Get the smoke bombs. Get the live humane traps, the have-a-heart traps. Get the electronic traps. Get the ground poison. There's no one solution for any of that. You've got to combat them with everything you can throw at them. And the biggest thing is, you were talking about the cactus piles, getting those cleaned up. And then... You know, Steve made a point earlier, Donna, y'all were talking about insects and just letting them be. She's on an acre property. If they're far enough back and they're not hurting anything, you know, maybe maybe just a 100-foot diameter around the house, and then the back of it is just your natural desert, and it does what it does.
Yeah, name them and get familiar with them, get to be friends with them.
You know, you might try calling the Pima County Master Gardeners and see, too. I'm sure they might have some creative ideas for that. Again, we don't have as much of that, certainly in our urban areas here in the Phoenix area, but I know it's more common down there. I know it's tough. It's a tough thing to deal with because you don't want to go out there killing creatures either, but we want to live in harmony, right?
So. Well, good luck, Liz. harmony, you know, that the natural life cycle, I think that goes back to our cat suggestion. A natural predator.
Well,
maybe an eagle.
A raptor would be nice. Yes, I love the owls. Absolutely.
Because then you'd have something there at night, too, from above. If they got used to the cat on the ground, then you get the predator from above.
It's web of life.
Rosie on the House every Saturday morning at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text to 411-923. You can email info@rosieonthehouse.com. In studio with Donna D. Francesco from the city of Mesa and Water Use It Wisely. Steve Preby, you have... a botanist at the Mesa Community College now.
Yes.
Is your recent hobby?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I teach a plant biology class there at Mesa Community College.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you all for your time in this Saturday morning. We'll wrap up the Outdoor Garden Hour right after this.